Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Ladies and gentlemen,
we are coming back to Atlanta.
Right now.
Whoa. Mark your calendars for the second annual Black Effect Podcast Festival is happening on Saturday, April 27th. Hosted by B-Dot and Pretty V. Last year was nuts. But we about to do it bigger and better. We've got some of your favorite podcasts like Carefully Reckless, Horrible Decision, $1 million Worth of Game, just to name a few. Tickets go on sale today, right now. Go to blackeffect.com/podcastfestival. Get them. We'll see you there.
The Black Effect presents Family Therapy, and I'm your host, Elliot Connie. Jay is the woman in this dynamic who is currently co-parenting two young boys with her former partner, David.
David, he is a leader. He just don't want to leave me.
But how do you lead a woman? How do you lead in a relationship? Like, what's the blueprint?
David, you just asked the most important question. Listen to Family Therapy on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Imagine you're a fly on the wall at a dinner between the mafia, the CIA, and the KGB. That's where my new podcast begins. This is Neil Strauss, host of To Live and Die in L.A., and I wanted to quickly tell you about an intense new series about a dangerous spy taught to seduce men for their secrets and sometimes their lives. From Tenderfoot TV, this is To Die For. To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hello, the internet, and welcome to season 240, episode 3 of The Daily Zeitgeist, a production of iHeartRadio. This is a podcast where we take a deep dive into America's shared consciousness. It's Wednesday, June 8th, 2022. What's happening? What is it, of course, Miles, tell them what it is.
Oh, it is Best Friends Day.
Yeah.
And it is also Oopsie Daisy Day. I don't know what the fuck that means.
Wait, is it Oopsie or Upsie Daisy?
That's how they spelled it in the thing. It's national. Unless Upsie Daisy is a whole other kind of daisy we didn't know about.
Well, I just thought So the way they've spelled it is UPSY Daisy Day.
Yeah.
I thought the spelling of Oopsie was settled. But maybe
I thought it was all oopsie, but I guess it's upsie days. Upsie.
Okay.
Days. Oh.
Yeah.
Are we? Is that like another? Is that like a new straw fang versus solid fang debate? Is it up? Are you upsie? Are you oopsie days?
Are you upsie or oopsie? I'm an oopsie daisy personally.
Yeah.
I mean, it is another one of those debates, just without the detail of it being interesting. But
wow, it says the oops and whoops in Upsie Daisy. And according to Merriam-Webster, it is UPSY. You ain't got no alibi.
UPSY. Wow. How about that? Mm-hmm. All right. Well, my name is Jack O'Brien, a.k.a. Morbin Time. Open all the doors to theaters across the world. Morbin Time. I'm sorry we made how much? Oh my God, I'm gonna fucking hurl. And then I know who I want to take me home. That whole part, but of course the person that you want to take you home is Morbius.
Oh, yeah.
But yeah, that is courtesy of Chrissy on Gucci Mane, based on a news story I hadn't caught, but apparently they saw all the heat online for people talking about how Morbius was, you know, very bad or so bad it's good, and they were like, we gotta open this thing wide a second time. People just didn't know about it that first time, and it earned $300,000 in 1,000 theaters this past weekend, which is low.
Oh, it got to six figures. At first it only did 85, I think.
Yeah,
it got all
the way up. They probably bought out like a bunch of theaters.
That's wild to think $1,000 that they did 85, like 1,000 theaters just did $85 for the business.
Yeah. So the rare movie that bombed twice at the domestic box office.
Yeah.
Shout out to Christy Yamaguchi, man. And I'm thrilled to be joined, as always, by my co-host, Mr. Miles Gray.
Sleepy Joe takes the morning train, pays crooks from 9 to 5, and then shakes his fist and says, come on, man, and we're all drowning in debt. Okay, shout out to Lockeroni for that wonderful Sheena Easton. My That's baby takes, or morning train, isn't 9 to 5 the parenthetical to that? Anyway, I know it as my baby takes a morning train. Shout out you, Lockeroni. And we'll wait on what Joe Biden does about that debt, because it sounds like he's like, ah, I'm announce it when it gets closer to like the day the bills are due. That way, y'all really, I really got your attention.
Really hits hard. Yeah. That is one of those AKAs that I am now going to add to my like playlist, because I had forgotten about that song. I don't think I've heard it in a decade, but
oh really,
it goes. Yeah, especially when sung by Miles Gray,
dude. The kids love that song.
Yeah, my playlist is just like the pop music I just put on in the car when
I know that track, because it's like Her Majesty's favorite song from childhood. I was like, well, she's like, you don't know that song, My Baby Takes? I'm like, no, I don't, but thank you for putting me on. And now I could sing that AKA faithfully.
Mm. Well, Miles, we are thrilled to be joined in our third seat. Enough fucking around.
Yeah.
We're being joined by a brilliantly talented filmmaker and writer. She was the head writer for The Problem with Jon Stewart on Apple TV Plus, wrote on Girls 5 Eva, Bless This Mess, The Opposition with Jordan Klepper, many others. Wrote, directed, starred in Basic, which won Best Indie Short and Best Comedy of the Year on the festival circuit.
Mm-hmm.
She's just all around killing it. Please welcome the brilliant, the hilarious Chelsea Devante!
Thank you for having me. I'm in my full WrestleMania regalia with that intro.
Yeah,
got a big gold belt around my neck.
About how we need to with some guests start having like the sound of glass breaking, and then Miles and I are like, oh my god. That's the music for Chelsea Devante. Oh my god,
you know who it is.
Yeah. I'm sorry, the sound of glass breaking, the I'm with her election winning soundtrack. I would love that. Remember the Javits Center, the glass that was supposed to break? It's all I think about.
No. Don't remind me of that.
And that was
Center.
What Stone Cold Steve Austin was talking about, I think. Wasn't that his music, Stone Cold?
Yeah, when you heard a pane of glass shatter and then Stone Cold would come out.
I think he was presaging.
Feminist.
Yeah. Noted feminist Stone Cold Steve Austin.
Exactly.
Chelsea, how are you doing?
I'm well. Never use that word in my life, but it feels better than sure.
Sure.
Okay.
Good. Yeah. Right.
I'm okay. How are you? Like that, right. You know?
Yeah.
Real insecure. Like, I'm good. How are you?
Oh my God. I'm so good.
That's nice.
Okay.
I felt that.
Yeah. And then you don't have anything to follow it up with. Yeah. Just really like good, you know, just good, like
just good.
Deeply good.
Mm-hmm. I mean, my goodness. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So you were at a wedding recently. You had a nice wedding trip. Felt good about
that. Yeah, you know, listen, it's been wedding season for old Devante's over here. All her friends were like, we're waiting to the last second, and then they're all getting married this year. I have discovered that I believe in strong leadership at a wedding. And mm-hmm. if the vibe isn't being created, I feel like I must volunteer to go fucking nuts.
Yeah.
And so not this previous one, I've tried to be calm, but at the first one, I was literally jumping on the photo table booth to get pictures of my sequined underwear.
There you go.
You know, because just every wedding's got to have a nut job, or what is everyone else going to compare themselves to?
Wait, you were wearing sequined underwear?
Well, the dress code was sequins. So it was my friend Ariel, she's the head writer for Colbert, and their dress code was your shiniest outfit. And me and my friend Ashley took it really seriously. And I had on these full sequined pantaloons. They weren't like underwear. They were, you know, they were a full coverage sequined garment. And I was like, if these aren't photographed, Right. When am I going to wear these again? And so I was trying to jump as high as I could in the photo booth only to discover, like, I'm a comedian and I can't really move well. So I'm like, come on, here we go. And then I'm, you know, have enough open bar in me to get on the table. The poor little props table guy is like, please don't break my photo booth, drunk freak. And I'm like, I must show my underwear. But I did get them in. So check my Instagram. I've got a great shot.
And are you the life of the party? Just generally, is there something kind of about weddings that brings out your sort of spur of the moment volunteer wedding planner? Or?
I would say, like, there's just something like deeply broken in my brain, and I've got two modes, which is like, leave me alone, I want to be at home, or I guess I'll just get really drunk and see what happens.
Yeah.
And so that's gotten really worse since the pandemic has, in quotes, ended and we've gone out and about. I'm worse at this. And so I just kind of can't hang normally. There's something wrong with me. Like, I can't just like go to have a nice time. Like, I'm all one or the other, no matter what party it is.
Right.
What are you guys like at weddings? You go hard, or are you just like, you know, a nice glass of wine, grab a nap, go home in your nice boy suit?
I personally used to be a real wild card at weddings, and I stopped drinking about 7 years ago, and I am now a, you know, wrap up a couple apps and a napkin to enjoy at home, you know.
You taking stuff from the tray pass, you're like, oh, this cucumber with the smoked salmon on top? I'm going to take a few of these.
A must.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Drinking really does go hand in hand with that life of the party personality trait.
Yeah, it does. It did take that out of me.
Right.
Yeah. So now I'm very boring and uncomfortable at weddings. How about you, Miles?
It depends on the. I read the room.
Mm-hmm. That's good. That's what you're supposed to do, I think.
Yeah. Well, mostly because I like to dance and shit, and I like to turn up. But if the dance floor is empty, and like
it's painful.
The DJ is not good, I'm not gonna be like, Hey, we got to get this under control. We got to sort this out. We got to get the right the ship here. I'm like, okay, that's how they got down. That's not the culture of this wedding, is to like have a great, you know, X, Y, or Z. So I hit back. But the second I hear Montel Jordan, this is how we do it. I'll throw a full wine glass.
You got to show them how they do it. Because someone might do it wrong if you're not on the floor doing it.
Exactly.
You pour a wine glass just to throw it.
Oh, yeah, 100%. I was at a wedding a while back where there was security saying you couldn't dance with a glass on the dance floor.
Oh, boy.
And I was like, yo.
Is it a children's pool?
Also, like, why y'all got cops in here like that?
why you bring cops to this wedding?
Yeah, like, what the fuck? ACAB also includes a dude who's like, hey, man, no glasses on the dance floor.
ACAB includes the cousin they paid to keep the glassware off the floor.
It's like, hey, you're going to pay for that replacement fee? That's what I thought.
That guy was having the time of his life, by the way. That was the best night of his life.
Oh, 100%.
Policing the glassware.
I had an earpiece that wasn't connected to a radio, but just dangling loosely behind him.
I don't know if you guys know this. I don't know if you're following me, but I'm planning a wedding myself. And wow, what a nightmare. Weddings, just nightmares. Nightmares. And deciding what goes on the tables will end me. And I was truly thinking back to like last season on the Jon Stewart Show, I had to like learn the 2017 tax plan and do the math on it to just possibly make sure trickle down was a lie. And, you know, I'm a comedian. I'm out here doing math on the 2017 economics and then every year since. And that was easier than picking a centerpiece.
Oh, yeah. It's designed by capitalism to be as much of a like just mindfuck endless series of decisions because,
But also the choices they're giving you. It's like, do you want to eat a piece of dog shit or a dead worm? And you're like, oh, God. And I'm comparing that to peonies or tulips.
Right.
Oh, yeah, come on.
Yeah, the flowers and stuff.
That's why I just go carnation every time. And that's
carnation!
Why my wife loves me. Just carnations single time.
The trash flower of all flowers?
Yeah. Well, it's fun because you can dye them different colors. So that's cool.
Just the worst food color.
Just seventh grader taste in flowers.
And by dyeing them, you're just hitting them with Krylon spray paint. You're like, see, this one's blue.
There we go. Indistinguishable from crumpled up tissue paper. So it's kind of nice. All right, Chelsea, we're going to get to know you a little bit better in a moment. First, we're going to tell our listeners a couple of the things we're talking about today. We're talking about how people are getting ready for the 2024 Bat Out of Hell tour of Donald Trump. he's running. People can stop tempting themselves with the possibility that he doesn't run. He's running. We'll talk about like where he's at with that decision and with the announcement and the whole event planning. Hey, event planning. That's something that we were just talking about. We're going to talk about good news, a cancer drug trial that seemed to go very well. And then we'll do a marketing check-in with Stranger Things and some of the Pride campaigns going on.
Oh, boy.
Mainly from the U.S. Marines and Burger King, two of our finest institutions.
Champions of equality.
Mm-hmm. But before we get to any of that, Chelsea, we do like to ask our guest, what is something from your search history?
Ooh, okay. So I, for my podcast, was unfortunately reading the book Hashtag Girl Boss, which is such an incredible piece of work. And I was just, look, there's a quote in her book that says, things come to those who wait, but only those left by, only things left by those who don't hustle. And then it's attributed to Abraham Lincoln.
Yes.
and I was like, what? And I mean, this is like, you know, it's fully printed in the book. And so I'm going to look at the other quotes. I'm like, maybe the whole book has been joke quotes. And I was like, no, they're not. So all the other quotes are real. So I went on a pretty intensive search that apparently the book publishers didn't do. On link three, the Lincoln Foundation debunked that Abraham Lincoln never said this. But there's so much art, an Etsy art with this quote being sold. And now people are sending me pictures of this quote that are up in their offices where everyone believed that Abraham Lincoln said, things come to those who wait, but only things left by those who don't hustle.
Hustle. What? I mean, that he was on that rising grind, Abe Lincoln. He's always said that. I think he coined that phrase. Yeah,
he was like, we all have the same amount of hours in the day as Beyonce, which was, which I'm sure was a woman who was enslaved during the year he was alive that he was pretending to fight for.
Right. What a fucking, like, hustle that... Doesn't that immediately set off alarm bells? It's not like the Gettysburg Address was like, and I've got a dream worth more than my sleep. That's why I'm grinding, son.
I'm on that grind culture. Know? In the Civil War, we got to be out here going hard all day. Yeah, it's truly shocking that anyone let it get published in a book, let alone sold constantly and framed art. It's everywhere. And all... Additionally, the word hustle did exist in that year, but it meant something entirely different. It meant to like beg and do nothing.
Oh, right. Like being a hustler, like you're hustling people for.
Yeah. Yes, exactly. Right. And so anyway, so that was the latest thing in my search history of trying to figure out why hashtag girl boss was quoting Abraham Lincoln telling you to hustle.
I'm surprised. Like, I just love the idea of putting toxic hustle culture quotes on historical figures where like the vernacular is complete. Like there's no way they were talking like that. Like, it's not like there's one that says work until you no longer have to introduce yourself. Jesus Christ. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
That is, my God. I did find that quote attributed to Abraham Lincoln on Forbes quotes, thoughts on the business of life.
Yeah, Forbes is out here putting that shit out.
Yeah. Man, that's like, I have something in the doc about how like future historians, when they're trying to like figure out what the fuck went wrong, what the fuck was wrong just in general with the Western world, will probably look at marketing. But like the entire canon of business literature is going to be, wow.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's going to take someone out. I mean, I learned because of this, I learned the very sad fact where several book publishers and copy editors contacted me to let me know that books are not fact checked. I said, what? And I guess like, I don't know what I was thinking, that there was like a police union for books, you know, where they come around like, you can't say that. That's not true. It's just I've always trusted books more than I trust tweets, only to find out that they both have the same fact-checking system, which is to say none, or, you know, your weird cousin coming in to be like, well, actually,
yeah,
books aren't fact-checked unless you pay to have it done. So Girl Boss wrote down that Lincoln quote, and that then just thousands of copies sold.
I'm assuming just like the fact-checking process was rejected on the basis of being not profitable, like much of like journalism. But that is so wild that they were
not. Yeah, nonfiction. Yeah, it's just not. I mean, I guess that's how we get James Gray, A Million Little Pieces, where they're like, right. Oh, actually, he like made the whole thing up. And he's like, whoop, right. Upsie, whoopsie, whatever. Upsie, yeah. Upsie, whoopsie day. because, yeah, I guess you have to pay to fact check it yourself. And then you also still have to agree. So even if someone's like, hey, by the way, I don't think Abraham Lincoln said that, you can be like, nah, I'm going to put it in the book anyway. Like, right. It's just your prerogative.
Right. Exactly. Like, I'm pretty sure Sigmund Freud said, turn down your feelings and turn up your hustle.
All hustle quotes. Chelsea, what is something you think is underrated?
Okay. This is a long walk, but hold my hand and join me on this beach.
I love long walks.
Okay. Underrated is pure unbridled talent. Now, go with me because... Mm-hmm. I've heard you haven't seen Top Gun Maverick, and this is something that's really been on my mind. When saw it in theaters, it's a true masterpiece. It's masterpiece, and it's also a masterpiece because it's just like classic, incredible storytelling. Like, I also went and saw Doctor Strange, you know, which is like the most confusing, horrific piece of garbage sold as a movie for a bajillion green screen dollars. And Top Gun Maverick like reminded you like what good movies are and why you get that little special feeling in your heart. And as I was watching it, I was like, wow, like Tom Cruise is out of his goddamn mind. He reminds me of my mom's first husband. I mean, he makes me want to throw up. He's a Scientologist. I'm pretty sure he's helped a woman go missing in Scientology for many years. And Shelley Miscavige. He definitely ripped a girl's braces off and thought he might marry her, then cast her out. I'm sure he ruined Katie Holmes' life. And yet, I was able to enjoy this movie because he's just that talented. And I was like, what is doing this for me? Like, do we forgive him because he's a man? Or is it talent? And I was like, I'm still on this walk. I'm almost done. At the beginning of the movie, he comes on. It's just him like in a chair. He's like, hey, guys, thanks for coming to see Top Gun. You're like, whoa.
What's happening? What the fuck?
And he's like, we worked so hard to bring you real speed, real stunts, real planes, and really give you the like experience of flying. I'm just like so happy you're here, which is, you know, as I'm saying it, you're like, that's an attack. Like, who plays that for a movie? And he's so goddamn likable that you're right. Like, man, thank you for real speed. Yeah, and then you watch the movie, and they're like, he did give us real speed, right. And I was like, wow, talent can just go so far because he's a monster, and that movie's epic.
Tom Cruise is talking to me.
Yeah. Oh my god! And it's like his smile wasn't too much. It didn't seem corny somehow. He just really seems like he was thanking you for coming over to Regal 15.
Right. It sounds like he's doing the thing that he does in real life when he does junkets, which is ingratiates himself to the people that are about to interview him or cover a film that he's doing, and that's like eye contact, introductions, thanks for coming, nice to meet you, I'm Tom. And people immediately like, oh, wow, he took his time,
but
out to say that. And that feels like, just did that, like, you know what will really help? Let me just address the fucking plebs in the audience.
Yeah, let them know that, like, because they really flew in those planes, you guys. There was no green screen used. Here's the thing, though, Miles. Like, I could make, and I do all the time, I make eye contact. Hi, I'm Chelsea. I shake your hand. I ask you a question about yourself. We have a good time. I walk away. Half the people are probably like, what a bitch. Do you know what I mean? Like, it is not guaranteed to work for everyone. And somehow criminal and it works.
It's not a tactic. There's technique. There's genius.
There's something. It's the thetans inside him or something.
Oh, like, yeah.
It's the orbs of light that rule Scientology just beaming through his eyes.
Yeah. Honestly, that's probably the best ad for Scientology is the magic in Tom Cruise's eyes and being like, that's Scientology, y'all. And I'm like, fuck.
Dang, you guys. I think I might have to sign up for $100,000 worth of books.
And you're like, but wait, but no one else has it. That's part of it.
Yeah.
Maybe not a good ad.
Well, anyway. No, actually, what's our Handmaid's Tale woman?
Elizabeth Moss. Yeah.
Elizabeth Moss, Scientologist.
Yeah.
She doesn't have that like. But if she did do you think if she did a video before and is like, hey, thanks for coming out. We wanted real speed, real stunts. Like, we're going to be like, okay, I'm on board. I can deal with this.
Be like, or would you be a little nervous. Bit like, like, is this movie going to suck? She seems nervous.
Yeah. She right. comes in front of Handmaid's Tale. She's like, just want you to know, real torture porn. You yeah, truly ruin these women's lives in the making of Handmaid's Tale.
Real pain. Thanks real pain, real screams, real tears. That's my promise to you in this film. Like,
real forced labor. Come on in.
I feel like Tom Cruise, like the stories you hear about him on the set of movies is like he is like the best director who has not officially directed like one of his movies. He's like always there. Like I heard an anecdote from like Jerry Maguire where he was like had his hand off camera as he's acting. And he's like directing the person he's acting opposite of, like where to put their head in the frame. And the person was like, yeah. And it was perfect. He was exactly right. Like, yeah.
That's amazing. I was just, you know, going on a Top Gun deep dive and found out that after Miles Teller, who plays Goose's son, would go on his flight for making real speed happen, Tom Cruise made him turn in a flight report. So Miles Teller would have to go and sit down and write a real flight report and turn it in to daddy space captain Tom Cruise, who would then grade the flight report. I thought it was hilarious. I was like, I'm glad you made Miles Teller do that. That's funny.
I wonder if like Tom Cruise's son, like Connor's like, damn, you're giving him all this attention. You never asked me for a flight
report. Man, I got to learn to fly a plane so my daddy loved me.
Yo, but you weren't impressed when I was doing my dubstep DJ career.
Have you ever seen Tom Cruise in person?
No.
I walked by him on some stairs one time. He was walking
tall?
Up. I was walking down. He's short, I think.
Yeah.
I don't know because I didn't... Like, I've seen a lot of famous people in person. I do always like to get as close as possible to see, like, how short they are.
Yeah, but do that thing, Jack, where you put your hand on
top
of your head.
Yeah, I say get back to back with me right now and go butt to butt. I do. I usually do say butt to butt. But he was like the most magnetic person. And he wasn't like, hey, how are you? And like trying to shake my hand. I just passed him on the thing. He seemed to be hovering a couple inches off the ground. Ooh. And
that's like Nicole Kidman.
Yeah. Yeah. Wait.
When I met her.
Fuck? Maybe there is. Maybe this just needs to become a Scientology podcast.
Which is wild. When I met Nicole Kidman, that was fucking energy too. And she floated. We were all like, yo, did she just float fucking through here right now?
Yeah.
Wow.
That was just like, you're so distracted. And I don't know, maybe because it's the size of their celebrity or something that like your brain is just overloaded. But part of me, like, who isn't necessarily like, I've seen every Nicole Kidman thing. I was just like, she is so fucking graceful and has like an aura about her.
I hope there is some theater somewhere playing the Nicole Kidman ad about like the magic of theaters right before Maverick comes on.
Yeah. I was going to say maybe she had just seen Creed 2 and that's why she was so graceful and otherworldly because she apparently really loves that movie. Isn't that what she's watching? That's what she's watching that thing is Creed 2.
I did not realize that.
Yeah, like that's one of the movies they show and then cut back to her and she's just like so mesmerized and transfixed.
Hilarious.
All right, let's take a quick break. We'll come back. We'll find out something that you think is overrated.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woo-hooer, a hand clapper, a high-fiver? I kind of like the high-five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void or prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
I'm Elliot Connie, and this is Family Therapy.
My best hopes, I guess, identify the life that I want and work towards it.
I never seen a man take care of my mother the way she needed to be taken care of.
I get the impression that you don't feel like you've done everything right as a father. Is that true?
That's true, and I'm not offended by that.
Thank you for going through those things, and thank you for overcoming them.
Thank God for the limits.
Every time I have one of our sessions be positive. It just keeps me going.
I feel like my focus is redirected in a different aspect of my life now.
So, how'd we do today?
We did good.
The Black Effect presents Family Therapy. Listen now on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is Neil Strauss, host of the Tenderfoot TV True Crime Podcast, To Live and Die in LA. I'm here to tell you about the new podcast I've been undercover investigating for the last year and a half. It's called To Die For. Here's a clip.
All these girls were sent out into the world and they were told, try to meet important men, try to attach yourself to important men.
The voice you're hearing is a Russian model agent telling me about spies sent out to seduce men with political power.
The war in Ukraine is also being fought by all these girls that are all over important cities.
For the first time, a military-trained seduction spy reveals how the Russian government turns sex and love into a deadly weapon.
If you want to kill your target, it's easy. You just seduce him, take him somewhere, start having sex, and then he's very vulnerable, so you can kill him easily.
To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Truck stop brothels run by a web of ex-cons. A Commonwealth attorney wasted on whiskey and power. Protection exchanged for cash and flesh. This is Hooker Game, Criminals and Libertines in the South. And I am your host, Dr. Lindsay Byron. 3 years ago, I came across a goldmine of news clippings detailing a scandal that rocked my small southern hometown. As I flipped through each page, this forgotten story came back to life.
I was told that it was just supposed to be a massage parlor.
The big shot in Davos was Barker.
He beats me continuously.
If you print anything that you hear in that grand jury, you will be put in jail.
I never gave any massages.
Listen to Hooker Gay, Criminals and Libertines in the South on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
And we're back. And Chelsea, we like to ask our guests, what is something you think is overrated?
Okay, it's going with our event planning, you know, wedding talk. But if you are having a wedding and you have a wedding registry, you're a bad person. You're just like a truly bad, evil person.
If you're having a wedding and you do have a wedding registry.
Yeah. If you're having a wedding, you have a wedding registry. And here's my take on this, especially now. One, if you're having a wedding, you have money. You just do. And if your dad's paying for it, then like he can buy you the bamboo playset or whatever. You know what I mean? Like, right. So you do have money. And this is what's killing me. And again, I'm having a wedding. I just feel like I get to say this. This is my year to say this. Wedding registries are overrated because there's so much awful pain and suffering and tragedy going on right now. And the only fundraiser you organized was for your own La Crusette.
Yeah.
And I just think it's disgraceful.
terrible timing.
Do you know what I mean? It's like I'm over here buying fucking Katie and Brian new towels. Like, what?
Right.
I got to be sending towels to somebody else. New towel sets they got to go somewhere else. They can't go to you.
That's or at least, you know, have that option to be like, or charity.
Yeah.
You know,
well,
make a donation to this charity that we like. That'll, you know, you could do that too if you want to put some good out in the world. Or we would love these Turkish cotton towels from Parachute. Only need 5 of them because we actually have another.
Yeah, charity or Parachute cotton
or luxury for us, the people you love and who invited you to a wedding. So your choice, whatever you want.
Yes or no.
Here's a picture of us.
We truly looked into doing this before deciding it's too hard and we have real jobs. But we were like, we wanted to create a website that had, like, you know, your Parachute towels and your dishes and your stuff on them. So you would feel compelled to buy us gifts. And then as soon as you bought it, it would be like, surprise, this is going to the unhoused community. And then we were like, maybe that's a lot of web coding that we don't know how to do. We don't know how to flip them like that. So we just had to lead with charity.
Hey, Zeit Gang, if you're any web designers who want to offer your services for a gotcha oopsie daisy wedding registration site, hit Chelsea up on Twitter.
Oopsie daisy, we're not going to ask for plates while also burdening you with our wedding. Please give your money to a better cause.
All right, let's get into the news. Oopsie daisy. I think Donald Trump's getting a little restless, it seems like.
Yeah,
I don't know.
The worst kind of restless. And I think we've all been bracing ourselves for the moment where Donald Trump announces that he's running for president again. And a lot of people are like, yeah, you never know. He might not. Like, I don't know. But we all were like, that man's ego is not going to allow that to happen, especially since he has no Twitter. Truth Social is an absolute garbage fire. So he's really looking for a way to be relevant that isn't just like, I'm endorsing this person who will lose. And a lot of people speculated, look, maybe he doesn't want to go through all the bullshit. But then the other half of people are like, you know, part of us think that he sees becoming president as his only way out of his numerous legal problems that he's having. And that's really all it means for him at this point. So the current thinking from people in his orbit seems to be, and this is from like reporting from a few different places, that, you know, when does he announce? It's not really about
it's just
if.
When.
It's now not it's if. When.
Right.
Do we do it too early and you end up helping Democrats in the midterms by offering them their favorite campaign tactic, which is just to say Trump and not have to really think of anything else. Just be like, oh, I don't know, man, Trump, though. So, which they would love that. The DNC is praying for that one. That to be the midterm strategy is say Trump, maybe codify abortion rights. I don't know, but Trump mostly. Then the other side is, well, if you wait too long, you announce too late. And then the field starts to bubble up with people like Pence and DeSantis. And now you got more competition that you have to, you know, you have to end up going up against. And then the other one is more of like a wonky aspect, which is if he announces too soon, campaign finance laws. This is one of the reasons why people are like, he's not going to announce right after losing, because it wouldn't allow his campaign to interact with the super PAC that he has and like move money around like he does, like a grifter. So he probably want to wait just to not run afoul of campaign finance laws, but who cares about campaign finance
laws? Not like
laws.
He follows those anyway.
Right. Yeah.
I everyone's like, when is he going to announce? But I'm more interested in how is he going to announce? Like, is it an escalator again? You know what I mean?
4th.
Does he go full elevator or is he jumping out a hot air balloon? I honestly hope he chooses something where he dies. Like, don't you see him being like, I got to one up it. Let's do it from a naval jet. And it's just...
Right.
It's
doing
a
Super Day of Osborne like stunt.
Oh, an escalator, but it's got to be fast. It's got
to
go really fast.
Really fast, real stunts, real speed.
To the sky. And I just don't think Melania's there. I don't, you know what I mean? Like, are they dragging her corpse out? Is it a mannequin?
Hologram.
Impossible to say. It's impossible to say.
Does he debut a new girlfriend? I mean, the possibilities are just endless.
Could you imagine? Like,
I mean,
and this is my new boo. You're like, wait, it's a brand new me, y'all. And people are like, hey, it's actually, I'm with Candace Owens. Yeah, I'm down for the tour.
And everyone's like, such a genius move. Don't put that out there for him.
Can we
a
edit
nice
that
pivot.
Out, actually?
That's how cynical
quick.
It is, though. Yeah. He would do some shit like that, and people would be like, oh. Like, what do you mean, oh?
Yeah.
No.
Also, how is the campaign going to go without Twitter? Granted, let's pretend Elon Musk or someone doesn't give it back to him, but all of our news outlets really just were on Twitter watch. And without that, he's going to have to do press conference after press conference, which we know he's too tired for and doesn't have the brain cells to be doing that, but he'll have to. I mean, I'm just very curious how he's going to drum up his press.
Yeah. So one thing that people are saying is he's really interested in the 4th of July as a potential day to announce.
Oh, yeah. And he loves the 4th of July.
Not Juneteenth. It feels like he would do a Juneteenth.
Yeah, he's just, you know, he's like, they don't appreciate me for that one.
He's just going to do the Independence Day speech.
Yeah.
Call it a day.
We celebrate our Independence Day. So that's where a lot of people bring up the concerns, which is you go that early and before midterms, if your picks end up losing in the midterms or a lot of people you endorsed, that is going to put more blood in the water for the likes of like the DeSantis's or the Nikki Haley's, other people who are, you know, watching him very closely to be like, is this dude about to slip up? Because if he is, we're ready. And this is also against the backdrop where there was another conservative straw poll that happened in Colorado where the participants at this like West Coast conservative sort of convention They picked Ron DeSantis over Trump in a straw poll of people they like. These don't mean anything.
Do we trust straw polls? It's just like, no. Who showed up to the Colorado convention to take the straw poll? Like, obviously, right. It's Rick DeSantis followers.
What it does say for, like, if anything, is that when these Republicans are getting together at their little, like, you know, conventions and deciding to be like, okay, who do you like? Trump doesn't necessarily have the, like, edge of, like, blowing everyone out. And I think that's what it does show is, like, there's clearly some kind of debate, too, amongst conservatives, like, is that a losing proposition? Like, it motivates so many people against him. Are we better off finding someone else who's just as horrific, if not worse, and younger? So, you know, all of those things hang in the air.
Matt Gaetz? Like, can we get him up?
Jesus. Yeah. I mean, I feel like at that point they know that, like, this guy is, like, got one foot in a jail cell already. So maybe not. But, I mean, who knows? Trump might, too, if we live in a fantasy world where the January 6th committee hearings go like they do in Adam Kinzinger's mind.
I feel like the only thing that's scaring him is, like, he's not worried about anybody. I guess maybe if the New York Times, like, wrote the straw poll story and, like, put it as front news, because that does seem to really hurt his feelings. But he's definitely going to run. I don't think he's worried. I don't think he, like, when you hear him talk about, like, DeSantis or Pence, like, staging a, like, challenge to him, he's like, that would be very disloyal. They would never do that to me.
I think that reads as shook to me.
I think he's just in his own universe and probably, sure, like, not, I don't know. He almost ended the country.
I think he's in his own universe where he's the master of everything and infallible. But part of me is like, I don't think he realizes. He is looking at them. He's like, wait, what's going on? Like, I'm number one. Like, let me have my moment.
Right.
I'm surprised to say this, but I think I'm thrilled he's running. And imagine him on stage in a debate with Pence, and, like, Pence has actually stepped up to challenge him.
Right.
He's just going to start airing every horrible thing that happened in the last 4 years. He's going to talk about his ball size. He's going to talk about, like, whether he fucks his wife. Like, I think it's going to...
They think I don't fuck my wife. Wait, what?
He destroyed our country, women's rights, the pandemic took our economy out. I think we should get to see the next shit show. Like, we've earned this. Do you know what I mean? We have earned Trump going again and watching that party dismantle themselves.
But I feel like it's still going to work. Like, I really do. Yeah, he'll still win because, like, and, like, my main reason for saying that is just, like, he's the only person who doesn't really give a fuck, like, about what, like, polls say or what the media says, and, like, that is what people are craving, like, is, the, like, people who don't seem to be responding to, like, three levels deep of whatever an advisor has learned from, like, a focus group, you know? And it's true, that is, like, coming from, whatever he's saying is coming off the top of his head. It's just that his brain happens to be, you know, he basically ran a hustle for his whole life where he was claiming basically that he was, like, the unofficial president of rich guys. And then he got to be president and he was like almost ended the country to stay president. Like, I feel like we're dealing with a, like, black hole of just ego and there's nothing we can do. Like, yeah. I don't know. I feel very pessimistic.
It's tough to, and I know, like, it's tough for me to think about the media culture and the analysis and even all of this, because we already know the answer.
Right.
We really do. We already know the answer. Like, it doesn't really matter what they try and what is possible or impossible. Like, we know the answer. The impossible is possible. He will definitely win. I would at least like to see some true fuckery on the way there, because it's all we have left.
Yeah, I think... that's the version I'm holding out for. I'm like, well, can it be a comedic death that we get to witness?
Oh, I think he's going to die, too. I mean, can we have a heard it here first? I really want you to call back to this episode. I do think it's coming. I truly do. And please, FBI, don't
forever.
Come at me. It's not coming from me. I just think it's, I think death is coming. I feel it.
I feel like he's got, it's that George Bush shit, though. You know what I mean?
Like, you did know Trump was going to get elected before anyone because of The Bachelor.
That's
right. So we just throwing back to your first appearance. So I think where are you getting these? What tea leaves are you reading?
I have a couple of crystals on my desk.
Okay.
And they're really speaking pretty deeply to me right now. This is coming from the new age side of me, the group of psychics. I'm just feeling a death for him. And you know what? Let's put a timestamp on it. Let's see if my crystals are as accurate as The Bachelor. I'm going to actually, you know what? According to The Bachelor, he would not win this election. According to my crystals, he's going to die in the next 2 years.
Wow.
Okay. So Bachelor crystals, the epic fight continues. First.
The ultimate showdown.
You guys watch the fucking Secret Service like attack my shitty apartment tomorrow morning.
Right.
They won't do that, will they?
I don't know.
I think so.
You can't say like you are going to commit an act.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
If you, that's true. But I don't know. Again,
I made that clear, right?
In a weird sense, it could be something like, do you know something?
Oh, right. No. Well, I can hand over the crystals.
Wow. You're going to drop a dime on your own crystals, huh? Okay.
Listen, I really liked that rose quartz, but she's got to go. She's got to go.
Yeah. Crystal snitch Chelsea Devontae.
All right. Let's take a quick break. We'll come back. We have good news about cancer, and then we'll talk about marketing.
I'm Elliot Connie, and this is Family Therapy.
My best hopes, I guess, identify the life that I want and work towards it.
I never seen a man take care of my mother the way she needed to be taken care of.
I get the impression that you don't feel like you've done everything right as a father. Is that true?
That's true, and I'm not offended by that.
Thank you for going through those things, and thank you for overcoming them.
Thank God for the limits.
Every time I have one of our sessions be positive. It just keeps me going.
I feel like my focus is redirected in a different aspect of my life now.
So, how'd we do today?
We did good.
The Black Effect presents Family Therapy. Listen now on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is Neil Strauss, host of the Tenderfoot TV True Crime Podcast, To Live and Die in LA. I'm here to tell you about the new podcast I've been undercover investigating for the last year and a half. It's called To Die For. Here's a clip.
All these girls were sent out into the world and they were told, try to meet important men, try to attach yourself to important men.
The voice you're hearing is a Russian model agent telling me about spies sent out to seduce men with political power.
The war in Ukraine is also being fought by all these girls that are all over important cities.
For the first time, a military-trained seduction spy reveals how the Russian government turns sex and love into a deadly weapon.
If you want to kill your target, it's easy. You just seduce him, take him somewhere, start having sex, and then he's very vulnerable, so you can kill him easily.
To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What up? I am Dramos, host of the Life as a Gringo podcast. Now, this is a show for the No Sabo kids, the 200 percenters. Here we celebrate your otherness and embrace living in the gray area. If you ever felt like you were always too much this while also never being enough that, this is the podcast for you. Every Tuesday, I'll be bringing you conversations around personal growth, issues affecting the Latin community, and much more via my own personal stories, along with interviews with inspiring thought leaders from our community. Then, every Thursday, I'll be tackling trending stories and current events from our community that you need to know. So much of what makes our community so beautiful is our diversity, yet too often those of us who don't fit into this dumb, stereotypical box of whatever it means to be Latino are left without a voice or just forgotten about. On this show, I celebrate the uniqueness of our culture and invite you to walk in your authenticity. Listen to Life as a Gringo as a part of the Michael Tura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Truck stop brothels run by a web of ex-cons. a Commonwealth attorney wasted on whiskey and power. Protection exchanged for cash and flesh. This is Hooker Game, Criminals and Libertines in the South. And I am your host, Dr. Lindsay Byron. 3 years ago, I came across a goldmine of news clippings detailing a scandal that rocked my small southern hometown. As I flipped through each page, this forgotten story came back to life.
I was told that it was just supposed to be a massage parlor.
The big shot in Davos, Barker.
He beats me continuously.
If you print anything that you hear in the grand jury, you will be put in jail.
I never gave any massages.
Listen to Hooker Gay, Criminals and Libertines in the South on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
And we're back, and some good news. There's a cancer drug trial. Small numbers, which bad for scientific like viability, good for my brain. I can understand 18 people.
We all can.
Yeah, that makes it good for me.
And I bring this story in because for all the terrible news that's out there, it's nice to read every once in a while that there are some pretty significant advancements taking place in the world of fuck cancer. And there's, again, like you said, a very small clinical trial. But what happened was 18 rectal cancer patients took the same drug. And after the trial, all 18 were in remission, and their cancer had become essentially undetectable. And this is a first where any experiment has like 100% the same result. One of the doctors participating said, quote, "I believe this is the first time this has happened in the history of cancer." Another doctor is a cancer specialist at UC San Francisco, wasn't involved with the study, and was asked for a quote, looked at it and said, quote, "A complete remission in every single patient is unheard of." So these are these are people who are looking down like a potential schedule of treatments that would have been, you know, like life altering and took so much out of them, changed them physically, obviously. But with this drug, they were able to, get on the other side, and they absolutely were just kind of shocked. And even the doctors said when they were like announced the results, like so many people were like in disbelief over what had happened and that they had been in remission. Now, again, like you're saying, Jack, oncologists are not ready to throw a ticker tape parade since this group was only 18 people. The size was only 18 people. And obviously would need to be like replicated these results like with a much larger group. But it is something like where you hear like actual doctors be like, that is unheard of, though.
I mean, that shit is weird. Medical opinion is that shit is weird. We're not going to throw one of our famed oncologist ticker tape parades just yet, but we are known for throwing the best in the biz, but we're gonna hold off for now. But just, you hear from us, that shit's weird.
I mean, if you had a study and it cured one person of cancer, I'd be like, holy shit. Right. You know, like, that's enough. Yeah. For me, that's a lot. 18 is a lot of people. Yeah. Like, here's my question for you guys, though. Mm-hmm. The good news, I think this is good news, is if they have cured cancer, what are they going to say to keep women from having abortions? Because, you know, that baby could have cured cancer, but cancer's right. Cured now.
Right.
So how are they going to keep abortion rights away from us now? What are they going to say?
That baby could have cured climate change, which is a thing we don't believe in, but you do. So,
but also your baby's going to kind of cause climate change, too, so. Something to think about, something away.
Single bullet. One shot, one kill.
I love this good news. I'm so glad. When you said that, I was like, that just made my week. I feel like it's been so long since true good news. Like, that's really incredible.
Yeah. And again, like, it's one of those things where you read a lot of the analysis of like other researchers and they're like, 18 is a small number. But all people are like, however, that's pretty remarkable. And a lot of this started because like some of these researchers were thinking of using like a drug like that was sort of part of like a standard treatment, but like using it earlier in someone's diagnosis when it was like localized and hadn't metastasized. And that's where they were like, oh, wow, like it has like the results are even better at this stage. So, you know, it's good to see little bits of news where technology isn't being like, hey, man, you want to make 9 ape slurps to make a shit coin? Like,
that's what our greatest minds are doing.
Right.
I'm just going to read this last sentence. I haven't read it yet in the story. The experimental treatment is expensive, so it shouldn't come as a surprise that all 18 cancer survivors are oil executives.
Oh, God.
Come on. No, that's not true. I made that last part up.
It's like, yes, this treatment has been banned in the United States. Right. Like, what already?
Well, I mean, Cuba did come up with a large cell lung cancer vaccine,
right?
And America's like, oh, we'll see about that. All right, let's talk marketing. Our greatest. It's where like people who want to do a sensible thing after getting a humanities education and have some talent, like, get sucked up into the marketing world.
How dare you say have some talent?
Massive, and it is lucrative, and it's fucked. It's awful. And I feel like this is a good place for future historians to kind of check and be like, so what the fuck was going on there? Really?
Their earth was burning.
Right.
Preventable death everywhere. Mm. And
So one marketing campaign we wanted to call out, the U.S. Marines tweeted out a picture of a rainbow, it's basically the Full Metal Jacket,
poster.
Marine helmet with the bullets in the little band around the helmet. And except all the bullets are a rainbow cut, like, aww, different colors of the rainbow.
And I'm still says Born to Kill on it, though.
Where are we at with Don't Ask, Don't Tell in the Marines? Like,
right.
What's even the policy of existing there?
It's okay now.
Okay. It feels like those bullets are it feels like those are
little menacing.
Right. That was my first thought. I was like, is this threatening? Like, are they saying,
one
fuck
for
your
you?
Pride? Like, this is, it says Born to Serve on the helmet.
Oh, and rather than Born to Kill? Like, yeah. And it's in that terrible font that's called graffiti, New York graffiti.
Sorry, no, it says proud to serve.
Maybe they're proud to be serving them looks on the Marine runway.
Let them know. So that's okay. Good to know that we can just be like, cool, thank you, Marine Corps, for your wonderful display of red, orange, yellow, green, blue, indigo, violet.
Mm. And then there is Burger King, international, various Burger King ad campaigns around the world for Pride Month. Austria did the Pride Burger. And the thing that makes it a Pride Burger is it has two equal buns. So in other words, each burger comes with either two tops or two bottoms, suggesting that they don't know how sex of any sort works. But yeah.
I think anyone, gay or straight, can tell you that not all buns are created equal. That's not really a part of it.
Time to be proud. And then just the, it looks like an error was made. The burgers that they have next to that.
It looks like when I've ran out of burger buns at my own cookout and I only got two heels left because someone just ate a loose top part of the bun. I'm like, fuck, I guess I got to use two heels of the bun.
I mean, do you think someone in marketing nailed it and was like, it's Pride Month, we've got burgers, fucking buns out for Pride, you know? And then some middle manager was like, well, we can't say that, but let's keep equality in mind. They moved it around? Or do you think this was them being like, we did it. We nailed LGBTQ innuendo. Awesome job.
Tops and bottoms. Cool.
I don't think they've even.
But they're not even calling it tops and bottoms, are they?
They're just calling it two equal, equality. That's the thing. Except what it does is just creates two bad hamburgers.
Right, but everyone else who's even savvy would be tops and bottoms of the buns together. There's so much new. I guess not nuance. In that sense, you're okay, this is.
I mean, if you really want that burger, they got to be like, hey, listen, the top bun is a straight hetero male. The bottom bun is a gay lesbian woman, they're on the same burger. And you're like, man, I guess.
So like they're equal in ways that like you would expect them to be equal because you wouldn't expect the top bun to be on the bottom of the burger.
You flip it around. We're all
like, just print this campaign before I finish this sentence. Thank you.
But wow, I honestly am just shocked more fast food restaurants haven't taken this on. And what did we have last year? It was like the Shamrock Pride Shake, you know? What was that one where they got like the older guys on TikTok to do like a sweet video about being, they did something back then. But it's just like, just the possibilities for innuendo with fast food and pride could go so wrong in so many chain restaurants. I'd like to see everyone take it on.
Well, I don't know what McDonald's did last year, but I do know that last year Burger King Mexico changed their name for the month to, and this is a quote, Burger Queer, which not super.
Okay. Wait, it was McDonald's and then it was Burger Queer?
No. I said, I don't know. You had mentioned the Shamrock Shake, which I'm not comfortable criticizing the Shamrock Shake personally. I just tried to redirect gently to Burger King because that was their strategy. Burger King Mexico for the month of June will be Burger Queer.
Why didn't they just go Burger Queen? Q-U-I-N-G. You know what I mean? It was right there. Burger King.
Or Burger Queen.
Yeah.
Burger Twink. I mean, like, I think those are better
burger,
options.
And then... You have like Twinkies on the, I mean.
I'm sure they'd find terrible ways to, make that idea work. What is the poster though?
Okay, so down below, Burger King is apparently just letting like the various marketing departments freelance because 2020 Burger King Finland put up a billboard featuring the Burger King mascot making out with Ronald McDonald.
I'm sorry, I like that one.
I do too, kind
of. Imagine what that did to a bunch of little kids. That's awesome.
Yeah.
Ronald is in an open relationship with Grimace and the Domino's Noid, so it was controversial. It made a splash.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I feel like we deserve that version. Remember, because in the 90s and shit, it was always the Pepsi guy and the Coke delivery guy, like commercials, where they would pull up at the same place. Where's that video with them making out?
But like they are the most aggressively like heterosexual guys. They had to like, right? Wasn't that the thing? They were like the guy... was cast as like beer drinker with like 4 o'clock shadow.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh,
yeah.
Boy.
Well, good for look. The marketing geniuses have done it again by the laziest ideation process imaginable. What if Burger King made out with Ronald McDonald? All right.
Sounds like a merger more than a pride statement.
Right.
They had so the one good thing I'd say that comes from all of this is that people were pointing out as a result of all these, you know, just very wild swings that they were taking that Burger King had a poor rating on the Human Rights Campaign Foundation's Corporate Equality Index due to a lack of employment protections on the basis of gender identity, as well as lack of base level healthcare coverage for for transgender employees. And that has since been rectified because people were like,
well,
yeah. So
that's nice.
That is kind of nice.
Wow, that marketing department just got fired. Isn't that crazy?
Right. They're like, hey, your fucking shitty campaign got us this you, basically. And they're like, oh.
And you know, while all fast food industries have their crimes, I will say the worst one, if you're going to not support one, pride aside, is Wendy's. Because Wendy's won't sign this act that says they'll protect farm workers, like women who... are assaulted working on these farms. And like they basically came together, went to the fast food corporations. They're like, it's called the Immokalee workers. They're like, sign these acts to just say you won't buy goods from farms that allow migrant women to, you know, undergo all these horrible things. And everyone was like, you got it. And Wendy was like, nope. Sorry, bitches. We want assault tomatoes. So if you're out there getting your Wendy's shake, don't.
Damn.
Wow.
Yeah. I had to do a PSA. That's my pride PSA is Wendy's hates LGBTQ pride.
There it is. And obviously Chick-fil-A goes without saying.
Mm-hmm. And then we also have Stranger Things ads that are just everywhere, which I guess, have you guys, Miles, have you finished Stranger Things season 4?
No, I'm on the third episode.
Okay. Still,
I started watching that, put it down.
Is it good?
Does it hold up? This is wild.
Do you think it's got stranger?
Like, yo, it got stranger and like pretty gory. And I was like, okay, cool. I'm like, I'm with it. I guess like we're growing up along with the cast where like they're like, yeah, they can handle like some fucked up violence now.
That's true. If they wanted to go like full 80s, they should have used the Die Hard naming convention and just been like even stranger. Strangest right. thing yet. strange with a vengeance. Really.
Strangest thing.
But anyways, their ads are all over the place. There's like a big partnership with Doritos where you can score tickets to a virtual concert that takes place in the Upside Down, which is the monster infested horror dimension.
Is that
show.
Just like a Coachella with a bunch of rotten trees or
right.
what is that?
On Meta or whatever. Yeah. Right. It's
New like Horizons.
It has this whole like background where it's like Doritos Music Fest in 1986 never happened because a tour bus crashed near Hawkins, Indiana. And despite the fact that they were thrown into literal hellscape, the likes of Corey Hart and the Go-Go's are going to put on this show on June 23rd. So it's just going to be like tortured. In that universe, like they must have disappeared and they've been just in this hellscape ever since. And
eating Doritos?
Yeah. And they're just going to like throw them on and they're going to be like, show's on. Show must go on.
I got to say, the one marketing guy who like really wanted to be a screenwriter and his parents were like, that's not practical. So he went into marketing, just had the best day of his fucking life writing that paragraph.
Right.
As the fans are pulled deeper into the Upside Down, they will be shocked to see decade-defying pop star Charlie XCX take the stage and perform a surprise collaboration with one of the 80s bands.
Charlie XCX is your 80s Dorito Stranger Things choice?
I think they were like, we gotta update this for the kids, damn it. And so they were like, yeah, well, it's a plot twist. Because, whoa, what's she doing here? But she defies decade.
She literally doesn't. And she is great. Right. But she is really 2022. Like, she's not bag. Decades yeah. defying. Like, she at doesn't. Best, all her beats are of the now.
Yeah. Like, I'll give her maybe 2014, like that Iggy Azalea video where it was Clueless. Or
I'm so fancy.
Oh, I mean.
Wasn't that her on the hook? But yeah.
Yeah,
again,
is that decades
That's the
defying?
Closest she got to throwback, I feel like.
I mean, did say she's a 90s bitch? Isn't that lyric from that song?
You're the one who runs a Charlie XCX fan site.
Again, though, like Stranger Things is the 80s. Like, you can't just be like, nah, she's a 90s bitch. Get her in here.
Right. A decade's defying.
She's got to be an 80s bitch, an 80s slut, an 80s whore. Like, you know what I mean? Here are the terms available. An 80s girl boss, like...
Right. You're from the 70s, but I'm a 90s bitch. That's the lyric that my brain would not let me move on until I looked it up.
That's just me speaking to my ex-older boyfriend. You're from the 70s, I'm a 90s bitch. I'm the 90s
bitch. So people are going to be shocked by that, even though they just like told you what was going to happen. They're going to that's the plot twist of the Doritos thing. There was a Stranger Things Monopoly game that came out, and when they leaked... you know, images of the game, it spoiled actual like plot points from the show. So the creators were like, are you fucking kidding me? With like, yeah, very, very frustrating for them. They're, I mean, Fleshlight issued a tweet, new product that will finally allow people to fuck a Demogorgon's mouth is basically what they've done.
That
here.
Can't, that's not real, right? That's
I mean, it is an actual tweet by Fleshlight. I don't know I mean, that they have created the product other than for this promotion.
It has to be.
I'm sorry. I love that. That's exactly what Fleshlight is for. You know what I mean? It's just like, stop being like, we're a dirty slut. Go be a Demogorgon. You know what I mean? Like,
go fuck a demon.
The most vaginal like monster of the past like 5 years. Yeah.
Yeah.
Let people fuck it. That's what that is what you are for.
Hey, listen. if you're that feels better than like I think they made a sex toy for Princess Leia where like you can actually have sex with honestly it's Carrie Fisher but you're having sex with Princess Leia and it's just like I feel like we should just God, how do I get that law enacted?
Right.
Wait, Jack, what's happening to your face? Are you thinking about that Princess Leia sex doll?
Yeah, or I feel like...
Oh, it's a sex doll. I thought it was like the another fleshlight like this, and I was just
like
trying to...
With two huge cinnamon buns on the fleshlight that you hold onto.
The cinnamon bun.
Okay, that's a genius idea, and fleshlight, do not take that from me.
Yeah, right. And if anything, you should be fucking the Sarlacc pit.
Right. Like that is what this is. This is instead of Princess Leia, they have allowed you to fuck the Sarlacc pit.
Yeah.
Okay. So fuck a Sarlacc pit, fuck a Demogorgon. I guess that's true.
Fuck the sandworms in
Shai Hulud?
Yeah.
From Doom?
And suddenly Miles is in.
Hold on.
Oh, Miles, you got
whoa,
a little
whoa,
too.
Whoa.
Wait, why is Miles
now
typing so fast? He's pulling out his credit card.
How is there smoke coming off of his keyboard? Holy shit. It literally, the keys are like flying up.
yeah, the keys are blowing off the actual keyboard. It just reminds me of like you're talking like when they look at the ashes of our terrible society and they're like, how did the modern world fall? And like, well, at the end, they were fucking monster tubes to distract themselves from the end of the world. But, you know, they looked photorealistic.
I think they will look on that approvingly. Personally,
yeah,
that's like art. How do we, right? If you or it like set like millennia later, where like the remnants of what survives of humanity like comes upon an old like an old Sarl or fucking Demogorgon fleshlight,
a real toothy fleshlight,
right? And they're like, it's the new Ark of the Covenant for this next phase of humanity. Like, please let us know, what wisdom do you have?
That's what like humanity is like. That's the Jurassic Park like DNA sample that they pull to like regenerate humanity and like human park.
Right. They're like, hey, there's some DNA in this fleshlight.
Oh no.
If we can regrow a human.
We can regrow the most loser piece of shit human.
Right? Yeah. They're like, yeah. Oh, they do not look like they looked in their pictures. Damn.
Right. Hey, what's up? I'm Brett.
Oh. Hey, did you know where my fleshlight is? The big one is the Domino's. Have you seen this? That they're like doing a mind ordering app where basically it's the Domino's app.
Thank you.
You have to sign into the Domino's app.
Okay.
You have to create a pizza that is your favorite pizza, all things that like you can do on the normal Domino's app. Mm-hmm. And then you like stare at a pizza box and they claim that like somehow is you using your mind to order the pizza. Like it really doesn't make any sense. They like, but they again have given it way too much backstory. The app is apparently like run by Hawkins National Laboratory. So they're like, you know what would be a good backstory for this is if it was being powered by an institution that regularly abuses children. Like, that'd be fun, right?
You know, like our app.
Right.
Like,
but
what?
Ultimately, it is a device to get as much personal info as possible from you. And also, like, I don't know how they're going to use this. I just know that they will give Domino's access to your facial recognition data so that they can, I don't know, who the fuck knows.
Stare at it. And then it asks you a series of questions. Do you support Antifa? And you're like, what is this about?
Hey, just curious, friend. Now that we're friends.
Should you defund the police?
Right. Oh, no, it's Donald Trump's campaign infiltrated the Domino's Stranger Things app.
Oh, shit. But yeah, don't give Domino's your
personal
information.
Also, ordering a pizza on the phone is still the best way to order pizza. Like, I remember people like, oh, the app's so much easier. I love being high and calling some place and being like, hey, let me get a pizza. Like,
you are that hey, pizza place's man. Worst phone call. They're like, oh, yeah, God, that fuck. Miles guy is high again.
What is that guy a teenager? No, I went to his house. The guy's like balding and he's like middle-aged. It's fucking sad. He's so high.
He's so high, though.
Oh, it's me. They're like, yeah, we're fine. We'll get it there right now. Same credit card. Yeah.
Yeah. No, I want to read you the numbers.
Wait, hold on. Oh no, my mom's expired. Shit. All right, let me call you back. I'll get you a credit card real quick.
Well, Chelsea, as always, truly a pleasure having you on the Daily Zeitgeist. Where can people find you, follow you, all that good stuff?
Oh, you can come on over to my podcast, Celebrity Book Club with Chelsea Devantes, where I swear we read better books than hashtag girl boss, but that is it. Unfortunately, that one's coming up. And I'm on Instagram at Chelsea Devantes, where you can unfortunately see me yelling about weddings until mine happens. And I'm on Twitter, where it gets a lot more political. Also, at Chelsea Devantes. It'll just be me tweeting at Trump all day with his old handle, like, hey.
Is there a tweet or some of the work of social media you've been enjoying?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, there was one I gave it a retweet like 5 minutes before this podcast started. It's podcast themed. Okay. The handle is at Randy Shart, and she says, me, brutally murdered and found dumped on the side of the highway. Two 35-year-old women with a podcast. Okay, Murder Muffins, we got a real oopy goopy soupy story for you today.
My fucking Murder Muffins.
What's up, Murder Muffins?
It's murder time.
Miles, where can people find you? What is a tweet you've been enjoying?
Find me on Twitter and Instagram at Miles of Gray. Also, check out the other podcast, 420 Day Fiancé with Sophia Alexandra, where we talk 90 Day Fiancé. And so high that I sound like I'm ordering a pizza straight from Domino's. And also check out Miles and Jack Got Mad Boosties, an official NBA podcast where Jack and I just talk about the game we love, which is basketball.
We're great at. So great at that the NBA wanted to do a podcast with us. They were like, you could like join the league. You guys are amazing at basketball, or just do a podcast. Maybe that'd be easier for you. And we were like, yeah, I guess we'll do that one. But they do officially co-sign that we have mad boosties. We can jump really high.
Let's see. A couple tweets. Wow. Some tweets that I like. Let me pull this up. Okay, first one is from Ellie Krimendahl, at Ellie Krimendahl, tweeted, I don't care how old you are, summer break should be for everyone. No work, just popsicles and slip and slides. And that would be nice. I feel like that would probably solve a lot of ills. And then there's this other really fantastic thread by Ethan Gray, no relation because it's spelled G-R-E-Y. But, you know, this is somebody who was a Republican who, like, worked in, I guess, messaging, but talks a lot about the idea of like what Republican messaging even is, and ooh, that to even be like to call out hypocrisy completely misses what the actual ideology of the Republican Party is. It's not that they're saying this is the same table we're eating at. They're like, no, we're playing at this table where right, we make the rules, right, and you don't tell us what the rules are. It's not about freedom, however the fuck you're thinking about it. So I'll just check my likes for that tweet, or actually we'll put it in the footnotes because it's very, very extensive and very interesting read.
Yeah. And maybe it doesn't make sense for mainstream Democrats to always be trying to appeal to those people who aren't solving the same problem as us. You can find me on Twitter at Jack_O'Brien. A tweet I've been enjoying. Old Friend 99 said James Bond would be scarier if you didn't really see him in the movies like Jaws. It was like the premise that James Bond is aiming to be scary. You can find us on Twitter at Daily Zeitgeist. We're at The Daily Zeitgeist on Instagram. We have a Facebook fan page and a website, dailyzeitgeist.com, where we post our episodes and our footnotes. Hello. We link off to the information that we talked about in today's episode, as well as a song that we think you might enjoy. Miles, what song do we think people might enjoy?
This is from a Jamaican artist, Augustus Pablo. And, you know, just trying to go out on some, you know, old rockers type music from Jamaica, playing the melodica so beautifully. And this track is called AP Special by Augustus Pablo. Again, wonderful. It's from the album Original Rockers. Just good island instrumental music, a little bit of vocals, but just enjoy this. So AP Special.
All right. Well, The Daily Zeitgeist is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows. That is going to do it for us this morning. But we're back this afternoon to tell you what's trending, and we'll talk to you all then. Bye.
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 There's a lot of pros to drinking Health Aid kombucha. No cons that I can think of. Pro, amazing taste. Pro, pairs well with anything. Pro, probiotic. That's a literal pro. And it's deliciously refreshing. It's the perfect pairing to your meal or great on its own, whether you're having Pink Lady Apple, Berry Lemonade, or one of the other great flavors. It's the perfect swap for soda or alcohol. Make it part of your daily routine. Look for the brown bottle with an anchor on it and try Health Aid Kombucha today.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are coming back to Atlanta.
Right now.
Whoa. Mark your calendars because the second annual Black Effect Podcast Festival is happening on Saturday, April 27th. Hosted by B-Dot and Pretty V. Last year was nuts. But we about to do it bigger and better. We've got some of your favorite podcasts like Carefully Reckless, Horrible Decision, $1 million Worth of Game, just to name a few. Tickets go on sale today, right now. Go to blackeffect.com/podcastfestival. Get them. We'll see you there.
The Black Effect presents Family Therapy, and I'm your host, Elliot Connie. Jay is the woman in this dynamic who is currently co-parenting two young boys with her former partner, David.
David, he is a leader. He just don't want to leave me.
But how do you lead a woman? How do you lead in a relationship? Like, what's the blueprint?
David, you just asked the most important question. Listen to Family Therapy on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Imagine you're a fly on the wall at a dinner between the mafia, the CIA, and the KGB. That's where my new podcast begins. This is Neil Strauss, host of To Live and Die in L.A., and I wanted to quickly tell you about an intense new series about a dangerous spy taught to seduce men for their secrets and sometimes their lives. From Tenderfoot TV, this is To Die For. To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.